looking for something to represent your sport, but you don't want to look like another mall rat wannabe? Then head on over to TapperSleep.com. TapperSleep has serious gear for serious fighters and serious fans. While other fightwear companies spend their money on a big bust and funny costumes, TapperSleep spends theirs on their clothes, giving you stylish, durable gear that'll hold up under the toughest conditions. Whether you're rolling on the mats or rolling down the street, TapperSleep has a wide selection of t-shirts, hoodies, and hats for men or women. So head on over to TapperSleep.com right now and get your gear today. TapperSleep. Seriously. Good. Fightwear. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Rear Naked Radio, your weekly MMA review show right here at rearnakedradio.net. I am Paul Spiritual, as always, my co-host Jeff Shooter, Derek Kenny. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Just fine, thank you.
Superb.
Got a big show lined up. Three big interviews today. I'm excited. Shooter's excited. Derek Kenny's got his pillow ready for his hour and a half long nap.
Perhaps while you talk in your sleep, you could form it in the phrase, you know, like a question. Is Jamie Varner a pussy?
Yes, number one. Mike Widmer, the current OCC and ITC middleweight champions, fights out of the Michigan, Ohio area. We will have him on the show.
Yep.
Guest number two, Devin Price, CEO of Shine Fight, which will be putting on the Ricardo Mayorga and Dean Thomas fight and subsequent card.
Yep.
And guest number three, WEC lightweight contender and perennial favorite fighter of myself, Donald Cowboy Cerrone, all joining us on the show today. Holy cow.
I got to ask him where he got his tap out cowboy hat. I want one.
I think that's a pretty simple question to answer. The guys at Tap Out gave it to him.
Yeah, but they can't. I can't find it on tapout.com.
Beat up Jamie Varner and you'll get one too.
Well, I want the tap out cowboy hat, but I'm a little afraid. I'm just a little afraid it'll clash with my affliction boots. You know, that could be a problem.
Perhaps.
Or my fighter's only chaps. So.
Okay.
That's right. I like to have fun.
Moving on. We got a big show to get through, so we'll just swing right on the sack.
Do it.
Hey, everybody, and thank you for joining the SAC. Today is March 14th, 2010, and the SAC today was brought to you by our good friends at Ohio Martial Arts. You can check them out at ohiomartialarts.com for a more traditional way to approach mixed martial arts. You want to try this. Some of these great fighters, including former guests like Dan McMurray and the soon-to-be-mentioned guest Mike Widmer, all train there. So, I mean, you could go walk in there on any day, and you'll be training with a seasoned MMA, proficient, I suppose.
MMA type guy.
MMA fellow. You know, one of those fighter fellows. Anyway, here we go on the sack. Brandon Vera ready to push John Jones. Of course, at that point, John Jones will probably crush him.
I was going to say, the press conference afterwards?
Yeah, Brandon Vera says he's going to push
John Jones. Why'd you hit me so hard?
UFC on Versus. I have this wonderful quote. This is during a conference call this past week. Vera was quoted as saying, his game is tight. His striking is good. His defense works good.
Statement of the year goes too.
He says, we've been studying him for a while, and his biggest weakness is his inexperience. That's right. Yeah, he's really weak the way he punishes all his opponents.
He beats up all his opponents really, really quickly, so he doesn't have a lot of time in the cage.
Yeah.
Not true, but
he said, that's the only X factor in this game. Everything else is almost like a seasoned vet. Nobody's ever been able to push Jones. He said he's trying to stay comfortable and relaxed in the ring. Between me and Jones, if you watch both of us fight, both of us have a hole. Well, that's true.
Everybody has a hole, Brandon.
I have at least one, maybe three. Somebody drops a hand here, somebody drops a hand there, somebody turns the wrong way, and both of us have been capitalizing on other opponents this way. You know, the thing is, I wouldn't call Brandon's capitalizing anything like Jones's capitalizing.
Yeah, Jones's capitalizing is he suplexes you on your head. Brandon's is like, he lays against you for a little while.
He lays on top of you and complains, I should have won! I should have won! I beat the MMA legend!
I kicked him one time, give me the fight.
I kicked him, and about 10 seconds, well, no, more like 20 seconds later, he dropped from my devastating delayed reaction kick. Okay. Vera says he's more comfortable in the 205-pound division. It's a different pace, a different game, and I'm feeling a lot better. Well, that's great.
Super.
Good for him. It is the official opinion of me, Shooter, that John Jones will pretty much...
Whoop that ass.
He will whoop that ass in the most rampagious of ways. So, let's see here.
I don't know if he'll get destroyed, but it'll be a good fight.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
Jones, specifically.
It'll be a good fight for John Jones. Scott Coker talks Herschel Walker. The Strike Force president recently spoke on Herschel Walker and said there's a pretty good possibility we will see him again in the Strike Force cage.
No kidding.
Yeah. I'm not even going to read this article. It's not worth the
other news,
time.
The sun came up today.
One thing we can talk to Shine Fights CEO, Devin Price, about today. They just signed a bout featuring former Bodog welterweight champion Nick the Goat Thompson.
Ooh.
And Brazilian veteran Eduardo Pamplona.
Best neck beard in MMA.
Dude, that neck beard, it's unsightly and it freaks me out.
But it's the best one in MMA.
I remember watching him fight. I want to say, yeah, it must have been an Elite. And he was fighting and...
Shields, I think.
I think so. And... I was watching it with our crack staff photographer, Jay Brooks, who, by the way, his only pictures come clean when they're of the ring girls.
That's when it counts?
Yeah, when it counts. When it's me and Dana White, we get a picture of his crotch.
Well, but, then we know where Brooks' mind is at.
It's his clear, own crotch.
Clear.
It's not like it's
exactly.
Even Dana's
crotch. Exactly!
Anyway, yeah, okay. Let's see here.
Talk about the goat's neck beard.
No, I don't want to talk about the goat. Anyway, we both saw the neck beard, and we both were slightly disgusted and unnerved by it. It's kind of freaky. I don't even know how you do that. I mean, I'm a fairly hairy guy. I have to
shave your face, but not your neck.
But, yeah, it grows right up into his chin. That's insane. What do we got here? UFC Primetime drew big numbers this past week. Had 1 million viewers. That's for the build-up to GSP versus Dan Hardy. I personally am a little surprised that it drew such huge numbers. I didn't think there was that much interest in this fight.
I don't know.
Apparently I'm wrong.
I don't know.
Okay.
Did you guys see it?
Yeah.
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't even watch it. No, I figured
I just saw it. So.
Was it interesting? Was it pretty good?
No, yeah, it was very interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
I know in one form or another, they're both training with Renzo Gracie or Renzo Gracie students.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hardy's with Matt Serra.
Yeah.
Because he wants the insight on what it's like to have his ass totally dominated and kicked by GSP.
Apparently.
And
it really hurts, man.
Yeah. When he kicks me in the knee, fuck, that fucking guy hurts me. Ah.
It definitely seems like they're building up a little bit of a Rocky story here. You know, GSP is the undestroyable, you know, the unkillable monster, and Dan Hardy is the hungry contender that everybody's ruling out, you know.
I think Rocky, he's tough enough. He'll hang. He'll last at least three rounds.
I still think he'll go the distance.
You think?
Yeah. I do.
We'll see. I mean, I think
and
it'll
you know
be an
what?
Fight because Hardy works hard.
Well, obviously, we'll talk more about this fight next week, but I mean, if it goes the distance, that's 25 minutes Hardy has to put a shot on GSP. I mean... I honestly don't know if GSP will be able to finish him because it's just he hasn't really been finishing people in his last few fights.
Yeah.
Kind of tore his groin in the last
one. He ripped his groin out and still dominated.
Oh, no, he's still the strongest welterweight in the world. He'll grind Hardy into the mat, but every fight begins standing. Every round starts standing. So.
Right.
Very true.
I don't think if he didn't tear his groin, he would have finished Alves anyways.
Mm.
Maybe.
I don't think so.
I think he would have beat him a la BJ Penn, where he just, I mean, in this last one, he did enough to dominate when he was fighting Alves. Yeah. But at the same point, he wasn't being as ferocious as he was with Penn in the fight. I think if he got him down and really went to work on him, he could get a stoppage.
Maybe.
But anyway, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
Time will tell.
Here we go. Okay. All right. Meanwhile, next fighter on Suicide Watch, James Toney, Lights Out Toney. He says that he will have no problem, and he would really, really love to fight Brock Lesnar.
Sure.
Last week it was Randy Couture.
I'll tell you what, Tony, work your way up through the ranks, and you'll get that wish.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck.
Beat some jabronis. Ha ha, wink, wink.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, Freddie Roach, renowned boxing coach, says the UFC is using Tony.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
No, they they totally are.
I love
it. Well, no, I mean, it's like, what's your point?
No. He's saying the UFC is blatantly using Tony for the MMA versus boxing debate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tony's going to get out there, get his head handed to him a couple times, and he'll be like, see, MMA is better. I totally agree with him. I think that's what they're doing, which is fine. I have no problem with that.
He was asked in an online interview. He said, the questioner asked, well, what do you think of MMA? Freddie Roach responded, I had two guys fight last night. They had five MMA fights and five boxing matches each. So I'm around these fighters a lot. I like the standing part better. Two guys on the ground doesn't appeal.
No kidding.
But I understand there's a science to it. I've had a few fighters, Andrei Arlovsky, BJ Penn, Anderson Silva, Tito Ortiz, and I work with those guys occasionally. They all have talent. They said, what do you think of James Toney in MMA? He just signed with UFC. Said, I think they're using James as a way to say MMA fighters are better than boxers. If he fights a quality ground guy, once he goes to the ground, he's going to get killed. But if a guy chooses to stand up with James, James is going to destroy him.
Truth.
That's why they call him Lights Out. I really don't think there's one fighter in MMA who could stand with James. And you know what? That may be very true. I would be willing to say, stand-up-wise, no one's going to hit as hard as that man. I mean, he's going to break his hands.
No one's going to punch as hard as that man.
Right. But all that aside, I find it weird. Rather than call out someone, a heavyweight who likes to strike, he's calling out, you know, arguably two of the best wrestlers in the UFC and in the game of mixed martial arts. You know, two guys that are absolutely going to waste no effort in getting you to the ground.
Yeah, but I mean, it just shows that the guy really believes his own hype. You know, well, that's exactly it. He's deluded himself into thinking that he can stay on the feet against these guys. And
I've been doing wrestling for 3 months. I know how to sprawl now. You can't take me down, Brock Lesnar. You can't take me down.
You've been doing this since you were 8, but you can't handle me.
You can't take me. You with your 300 pounds of solid muscle and bad attitude can't possibly get me to the ground.
I know how to sprawl now. I know all the secrets.
I spent 2 days in a jiu-jitsu class. I'm a dangerous man. All right, moving on. Scott Coker talks UFC decision to compete with them at April 17th. The same day Strikeforce intends to host their next CBS card, the UFC is set to take place in the same state. Coker says he wasn't surprised to hear about their rumored efforts to create a rival April 17th event. Was it done to create some sort of confusion in the marketplace in Nashville? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure, says Coker. Is it good for mixed martial arts?
I was going to confuse the two.
Well, I love this. Is it good for mixed martial arts? I'm not sure. Okay, so apparently Coker knows nothing. Because now that he asked two questions, and both times he goes, I don't know. But he says, I don't think so. I don't think that when a company is trying to counter-program you just to impact your ratings, it's... And this could go back and forth. One day when CBS says, all right, we're going to go head-to-head against your pay-per-view date, and you can watch Fedor Emelianenko or Dan Henderson on free TV or buy a pay-per-view, people are going to have choices at that point. But that's something they'd never need do. CBS went out of its way to make sure there was nothing else on the 17th. The irony of it all is that even WEC, even for the WEC, we all said, let's not have a fight on the same date. They talked about that with WEC General Manager Reed Harris. They said, let's move forward and move it to the 17th, said Coker. So they're trying to help the WEC, and the evil UFC machine has come out to take away their ratings. And for some reason, he's just sad about this. I don't get it. So, anyway. I don't know. Any comments about that? That big bad Dana White is trying to hurt the Strikeforce?
No, don't care.
Nope, me either. Although,
to be honest,
I'll probably be watching Strikeforce that night. Just saying. Take that, UFC lawyers who apparently regularly listen to our show and wait for all kinds of legal infringements on your damn company. All right. Roger Huerta. I'm not letting it go, man.
Happened like a year ago.
Doesn't matter. I was going to be sued. Not you guys. They singled me out. I was going to be the one sued. It was my phone they were calling.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. So I'm in jail. The UFC came and got me. All right, man. We're getting to them. We're getting. Way to go. Like, okay, that's great. To the point where even my friends who are like professional MMA fighters are like, dude, the UFC was after your ass. This week's Shooter Sack will be taking place in Striker Prison. All because I wouldn't take the UFC's stupid octagon that we blurred the names on off of our webpage. Idiots.
I like the Yama Pit. That was good.
The Yama Pit was good.
I had that up for a while.
Apparently, I didn't realize the UFC owned the octagon. My bad.
They do.
Didn't know that shape belonged to you guys.
Moving on. Come on. Let's.
Moving on. Roger Huerta is fighting again.
Woohoo!
Oh, all right, good. So, and he's taking place in the Bellator 155-pound tournament.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I didn't know that his contract with UFC was up.
Oh no, it was up, and he didn't resign.
Wasn't Maynard his last fight?
Yeah, Maynard last was his last. No. Was Maynard his last fight?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I guess it was. I thought Florian was his last fight, but maybe it wasn't.
He fought Florian like 2 years ago in Minnesota. His last fight was against Maynard. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, anyway, Roger Huerta, yeah, apparently felt, even though inside sources have reported to me that the UFC did offer him a contract, it wasn't as much as he wanted. He was going to go look elsewhere. People speculated that perhaps he would consider moving up a weight and fighting in Strikeforce. But no, or maybe even going over to Dream. He's going to Bellator, staying at 155. He doesn't want to be at the UFC anymore. After all, what did they ever do for him? Sports Illustrated cover, you know, push him to the moon in spite of the fact that he never won a title. Yeah. Anyway, he's expected to sign. This isn't 100% official. He hasn't actually signed with Bellator FC yet. But they expect him to do it this week and take part in their Season 2 lightweight tourney. It does say Huerta was formally released from the UFC this past week. So, and Bellator is holding a press conference via their website on Monday at 3 p.m. and likely to announce the signing of the popular lightweight.
Yeah, big signing for them.
Yep. The tournament as of now is Tomi Amada. George Masvidal. I did not lose that fight.
All right.
Chad Hinton, Mike Ricci, Farad Kader, Yanni Tarinta, and Kerry Veneer. Yes.
Yeah, Huerta's probably going to win that thing.
If a tournament victory, Huerta.
Gamebred's his only chance, or his only competition, I think. But
right. Well, he wins this tournament. Whoever wins this tournament gets a crack at Eddie Alvarez. Their lightweight champ.
That'd be a fun fight.
It'd be a fun fight. I think Alvarez would win, but
still be fun as hell to watch.
Yeah, probably, but who knows?
Yeah,
I'm not as high on Alvarez as a lot of other people are. He's a good fighter, but he's not a killer. I don't think.
Finally, last thing, and this is special news, especially to Scorcho and misguided fans like him. Josh Barnett set to fight Mike Mo in Dream 13.
Who is he fighting?
This bout has been rumored to be, take place at Dream 13. And keep in mind, they've had a really hard... Dream's had a hard time finding somebody to fight Barnett. I'm not exactly sure why, whether they just didn't want
to
fight.
They're all scared they're going to lose to Barnett.
Maybe. As they say, this is somewhat of a disappointing opponent for the top-ranked Barnett. Although he's held a top spot in the rankings for quite a while, he's fought less than stellar opponents and hasn't fought a top-tier opponent in some time. I assume they mean Mighty Mo. Or maybe they mean Barnett. I don't know. Yeah, I guess they do. That was in regards to Barnett. Mighty Mo has fared better in the K1 kickboxing world and has only fought four times in MMA. His last appearance was on New Year's Eve 2008, when he lost via submission to Semi Schilt.
If Semi Schilt's tapping your ass, you got no chance against Barnett.
Yeah, exactly. the Dream 13 card is taking place in Yokohama, Japan on March 22nd. Yep. So we'll have to keep a close eye on it.
I'll be very surprised if that fight goes more than 2 minutes.
Some of the other names on the card in no particular order are Yoshihiro Maeda, Ryo Chonin, KJ Nunes. Yeah. And a whole bunch of other people you probably never heard of, unless you're a big fan of Dream, which I am not.
Well, this actually, Maeda's been, has
had... Oh, Maeda's a good fighter.
I called off
the fighters I cared about.
Yeah. And a bunch of other guys.
Yeah. And,
it sucks I haven't gotten to see, a Dream card in forever, just because, Time Warner doesn't carry HDNet anymore. Thank you, Time Warner.
Last thing I have here, I do have one more thing. There's a rumor going on that Randy Couture's next fight will be against Rich Ace Franklin. The reason this is really newsworthy in particular is because Franklin is also rumored to be replacing Tito Ortiz against Chuck Liddell.
You okay there? You been drinking a little bit, buddy? Because you kind of... says for a little bit. Oh, maybe it was just your mic.
Yeah, it must have been my mic, because I feel fine.
Okay. I didn't ask if you felt fine. I asked if you'd been drinking.
No, I was not drinking. Douchebag.
I believe you feel fine. I feel great. I didn't have to. Continue on.
There are also big-time rumors coming out that Franklin will be replacing Tito Ortiz in a fight against Chuck Liddell. Dana is doing everything in his humanly decent, unworldly power to squash this rumor, but more and more it comes out. Tito hasn't really said much, but via
for
his Twitter...
once.
Well, no, he can't, and that's the thing. He can't really say anything because he's locked into that unbreakable UFC contract when it comes to the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
All he says is that just when he thought things couldn't possibly get tougher, they have. When questioned about Jenna Jameson, he said, Jenna and I are fine. I guess business is just business. Don't know what that means. And
Jenna's suing Tito.
Which would be funny.
That would be hilarious.
Then the other thing that was said was on Jenna's letter, she said that... she said she's ready to face one of the hardest times in her life, but she has to do what's right for her and her babies. Cryptic. I have no idea what any of that means. But
me thinks that this is kind of a work. I don't know.
Well, yeah, maybe. But they're saying Tito has to pull out of this fight, and not for any health reasons, but something that could possibly impact his MMA career forever. Again, I don't get that. Unless he punched Dana in the balls or something. I don't know. But I also heard rumors that Franklin had to come in the last two or three episodes of The Ultimate Fighter and replace Tito.
Here he comes to save the day.
I have to ask you, and keep in mind, Tito on Ultimate Fighter 3, by all accounts, was a really good coach.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, absolutely.
He was being compared to Ken Shamrock, who was a terrible coach.
Oh, yeah. Tito did a very good job coaching.
But he did coach well. But if you're on Tito's team and your coach gets replaced by Rich Franklin, how would you feel about that?
Great, because I don't have to listen to Tito Ortiz anymore.
You have to do what I say, okay? All right? Yeah, okay? Here, I'm going to go call Chuck Liddell a bitch. You're a bitch! Okay, see? Yeah, that's how I get into his head. It's all head games, man. That's how I play. That's how I play. Watch this. You're an alcoholic and a bitch. See? See? That's what I like to do. Now I'm going to go home and make love to my lady. The whore? Shut up! I'll kill you!
You should take that on the road, man. A one-man show. Jeff Shooter Graham as Tito Ortiz. Sell out.
All right. Anyway, you can go ahead and wrap it up there, Sonny Jim. I'm done. Thank you. This week was the Shooter Sack brought to you by OhioMartialArts.com.
That was fun. All right. Mike Whitmer, joining us on the show.
Let's give him a call. He's all prepped and ready. Let's
give him a jangle.
A jingle jangle. I got Spurs, that jingle jangle, jingle.
Well, I haven't heard that in forever.
Well, you know, you said jingle jangle, so.
I did.
I said, what the heezy?
Oh, sheezy. We should just have them all on at once.
Each one of us take somebody and ask questions at the same time. Okay.
I'm calling them.
The number you have dialed is 410.
Turn that off.
That's not good.
Are you sure you called the right number there, Sparky?
Copied and pasted it in.
Okay, well then maybe I gave you the wrong number. Let me check, because I just texted him and it was fine. Okay. Yeah, that's the number.
Remember that chick? Sarah, what was her name? The one that we called? Or texted?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's nice.
Oh, it's sorry, it's 419, not 410.
You failed us again, Shooter.
You suck. No, I'm sorry.
You failed us again.
Just put the 9 in where the other number was.
Put the 9 in. If I had a quarter for every time somebody told me that.
I think they thought you were talking to me. Maybe if they said put the 2 in.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
2 times 4.
Hello.
Mike Whitmer.
How you doing?
You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Come on down.
All right. Da-da. Sounds good.
Da-da-da.
How is it going?
Very good. How are you guys?
Good. Very good. Very good.
So do you have any favorite things you like to eat? What's your
things
favorite
things I like
today?
To actually... I just ate my favorite thing, actually, just like probably about an hour ago. It's multigrain pancakes and eggs from Bob Evans, and their turkey sausage.
Sounds delicious.
That's probably my favorite thing in the world.
A little late for breakfast, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, it's all right. That's okay, though. Anytime I go to Bob Evans, I always get the breakfast.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess
actually, usually, anytime I go out, I get breakfast. Anything else, I don't know, I kind of like cooking myself.
Enough.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Now, as I understand it, you're a fighter or something like that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. And
I try to.
He's a cage fighter.
A cage fighter, that's right. We don't know much about this cage fighting business. We're just learning. Anyway, you're currently training where, at Ohio Martial Arts, is that correct?
Yeah, under Sensei Hertzfeller's out there. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's in Toledo. We have a couple dojos throughout Toledo and Maumee.
All right. Now, have you always trained? I mean, we had Dan McMurray on a while back. You know him. And that was pretty much where he trained. Have you trained anywhere else?
Yeah, I actually got my start under Scott Sheely down in Belle Fountain. I actually went to a college around Dayton in a little town called Urbana. Okay. And, Belle Fountain's probably about 10 minutes away, and a couple other guys on my football team had started fighting after they had graduated, and then once I graduated, they were about 2 years into it or so and asked me to stop on up there, and I came up, and about 3 weeks later had my first fight for Scott, and it's been pretty busy ever since.
All right. Now, let me see here. I got to pull up my super factoid thing that tells me everything I need to know. You have an overall record currently of 12-3, is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's out of Ohio and within Ohio, both.
Gotcha.
Most of them are in Ohio. I'd say probably about 75% of them are in Ohio.
Right. Now, what exactly is it that drew you to mixed martial arts? I know you wrestled. If you want to talk a little bit about that, did that lead you into it? Or I mean, what made you decide, you know what, locking myself in a cage and pounding someone to death is what's in it for me?
Well, I guess we always kind of had it in us. Me and my little brother also fights, too. He got started about, probably, that was kind of another one of the reasons I got into it. He got into it a couple months before I had, but he was up in Toledo already. And we had both wrestled in school, and both had found some success to a degree there. And then once it came time to pick for college, just to decide what to do, I ended up going with football, just because there was a lot more money in it. The wrestling is, they just don't give enough scholarships for anything. I had an opportunity to walk on at Michigan State to wrestle, and just ended up taking a scholarship at Urbana to actually play football instead. But in high school, we did I qualified for the state tournament one time. That was my junior year. And I actually wrestled freestyle for the Lake Erie wrestling team, and I actually took a silver medal in the Junior Olympics when I was 17 years old for them also.
I see. And how old are you?
So wrestling's been kind of a big deal of it. 24 now. Yep, I'll be 25 in a month.
Now, your brother, Marcus, how old is he?
He's 23.
Oh, so you guys are, pretty close in age then.
Yep, yeah, we've always been real close in age, so we've kind of played in all the sports together and stuff. And
you didn't grow closer in age over the years? That didn't work out like that? Like you started four years apart and you didn't suddenly grow closer in age?
Oh, nope. It's always been the same. We've always been a year apart.
Now,
we weren't born on a leap year or anything.
So do you, I assume you train with your brother then?
Yeah, we do actually. A good amount. He was training at Ohio Martial Arts with us, and he's actually starting his own dojo at a different location, probably a good 20 minutes, half hour from any of the dojos we have. And they're actually getting that up and running right now, but he has a fight coming up also. And so he's been training with us at the moment. And he has a couple of guys that are on his team that work out with us as well. He's 145. He fights 145, and he's got a 185-pounder that comes in with him and stuff.
Yes, you.
So it works out well. Yep. That's why we let him come in. I need guys with that size too. And we got, as you know, Big Dan, that's perfect for me. Anybody, he's going to hit me harder than just about anybody's going to hit me in the cage. So
I was gonna say, man,
that's always good to go.
Like Dan, you seem to be a bit of a glutton for punishment, a guy that big. I'm a pretty big guy, but still, have him come in and hit me. I need that. No.
It is. And the funny thing about it is you'll be in there sparring with Big Dan. He's blasting you, and you're loving it. You're, hitting him back and everything. And you're like, oh, that was great. And then you sit there for 5 minutes, and then it's like, God, my head is killing me. And after all that adrenaline just goes away, that's when it gets bad. But in the moment, it's a lot of fun.
Now, challenging with two fighters who are at completely different ends of the weight spectrum, obviously each one probably has their own sets of advantages and disadvantages. Which do you prefer in training yourself for a fight? The heavier guy who obviously hits harder, or the lighter weight guys who are going to be much faster and probably will keep your agility up?
That's a great point, because I teach a MMA class actually at Ohio Martial Arts Center on Wednesday nights. That's a lot of the stuff we talk about, is because we do a lot of sparring during Sensei Hertzler's classes. we do a ton of technique and cardio work and a lot of learning from him. And then during some open mat times and stuff we have sparring. And what I talk about is using your sparring partner to better yourself, not necessarily going out and using your sparring partner to go out there and knock him out. But if I'm sparring with a, like for instance, I've sparred with a 9-year-old little girl, but she's really, really fast. She's been training with Sensei Hertos for a really long time. And so I know, and it's funny, and I go in there and I have to defend all of it. And I can use that. I absolutely use her agility to try and better my agility. And then somebody with Dan, I try and get in there. Obviously, if I was in a cage with Big Dan, I would dance around him like I was a ballerina. But when I'm in there sparring with him, I'll try and trade with him just to get that. Because if I get knocked out in our dojo, that's okay. If I get knocked out in the cage, I'm going to be a little more upset.
Especially if you get knocked out by a 9-year-old girl.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
I can take that in the dojo.
That's what I said. Yeah. That would be upsetting at the dojo.
At least my friends will be there to take her out for me if I need to.
Yeah, I got your back.
If I need backup. Yeah, at least that.
I don't know, man. She looks pretty tough. She looks pretty wiry. You could use some backup there, man.
She's pretty tough. She's not a joke. She's no joke. She actually, she had testing this past week, and she told her mom, she was like, this is a 9-year-old girl, also, mind you. She told her mom, I don't feel I'm ready to do the test yet. I don't want to do it yet. Decided that she wasn't ready and didn't do the test yet because she felt she wasn't at that level yet. And that's a 9-year-old girl talking. It's like amazing to me.
I have to ask you because I, you know, spend a bit of time in the dojos and stuff. What's her name?
Mackenzie.
Okay. See, I was thinking about because Mariah is another one who's really young and she is just awesome.
Has
but
she
that's cool.
Up any of your children?
Oh, there's.
No one has. I've been beating up. Nobody's beaten up my children in the dojo yet. Okay. It's coming though.
Oh yeah. It happens. It always does. You do it long enough, you're gonna get beat up.
It might be Mike. You don't know.
That's right.
Yeah, you never know.
You could beat up my 10-year-old. It'll be awesome.
Right. Well, if I need to work on my agility and stuff, I might pick him out.
You over here.
See,
on the mat.
Well, the problem is Ron's all about grappling. There's no real agility with him. But he was nice enough that Senpai Blanco, who is also co-owner of Ohio Martial Arts, during a demonstration asked Ronan to punch her in the stomach, and he refused because I had always told him never to hit women.
That's great, though. That's awesome. That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have anything coming up as far as fights? I mean, do you have anything on the horizon, or are you just kind of playing it by ear right now and training, or what's the deal with that?
I actually have a really, really big fight coming up on April 10th. It's a professional and amateur show, and it's actually for Scott Sheely. It's called the Extreme IT MMA Show, and IT stands for Iron Tiger, which is the fight conference that he fights out of Belt Fountain. But it's going to be at Finley at the Cube, and there's going to be, I believe, 5 or 6 pro fights, and then right now we're looking at, like, I think 16, 17 amateur fights. There's going to be all kinds of fights there that night. Marcus is fighting, my little brother, and then myself, I'm going to be the amateur main event. And I'm actually fighting a guy named Tyler Beckley, and he's a champion of the OXF and the HEC, and just a really, really strong guy, a really solid fighter. He's ranked number 2 on MidwestCombat.com in Ohio at the light heavyweight weight class. But I'm going to be bumping up from 185 up to 195 to fight him at a catchweight. And he's going to be cutting down to 195 to fight at that catch weight as well. Because I guess he's planning on going 185 when he turns pro. But it's just too much of a cut to make
right.
The day of the fight because it'll just drain him too much.
Right. Mike, you mentioned that you had some serious experience with wrestling. With the exception of that, obviously, what facet of mixed martial arts would you say you adapted to the best?
I'd say the big thing for me was probably the transitions of it. Like the realization that you can I think that really, like, the mental part of it, that the places that you can catch people, the places that people commonly take breaks at, that you can explode at and catch them and either get position on them, as opposed to with grappling, and then also you can catch them with strikes at those times by exploding at those times too. I think that was the thing that came real quick to me. And I think that was from wrestling a little bit, because that was always the kind of wrestler I was. Very, how would you say, cerebral.
Yeah.
Cool. Like the cerebral assassin, I get you.
Yeah, like Triple H.
Oh, see, there you go.
Oh, I know, I knew it. I love Triple H, actually. I love the big time wrestling. That stuff cracks me up.
Oh yeah, yeah,
we're waiting on WrestleMania coming up later this month.
Oh yeah,
that's right. It is, isn't it?
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right, man. Now, that being said, is there a timeline as far as you see you moving to like pro? I mean, is it something you're looking to get into, or are you pretty happy where you're at now?
It's not that I'm not happy where I am right now. I'm definitely happy fighting the amateur and everything. It's just at this point, I feel my last few fights have been really, really tough fights. And mm-hmm. I feel I'm getting, and I just feel there's guys out there fighting pro right now that there's guys in the amateur ranks, especially in Ohio, that can beat a lot of these guys. And I just think I feel a lot better than I did it probably about a year ago. I actually did think about turning pro a year ago or so, and right. decided against it and wanted to get a few more fights in and stuff. And I've been talking about it lately and thinking about it a little more, and I think it's probably going to be before the end of the year, before the end of summer, probably.
Cool. All
right. I'm getting antsy.
Now, one of the questions I always like to ask the amateur fighters that come on the show is, how tough is it for you to handle training for a fight and all the preparation that goes into that and, you know, the rigors of having a job? Now, I know you said you hold classes at Ohio Martial Arts, but is that your only job? Do you have another job on the side? And how do you kind of balance your work/personal life and your fighting life?
I'm actually very, very lucky. I work at the Toledo School for the Arts.
Okay.
And that's just it's a art school downtown. We're a charter school. And I teach martial arts 5 days out of the week.
It is an art. That's funny.
Painting it's, and jiu-jitsu. From 10 to 11. What's that?
I said painting and jiu-jitsu.
I guess they had it a couple years ago and then had went away with it a little bit. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
And then... they had just now brought it back, and I actually ran into the job with Sensei Herd Sellers literally a week after I had been going to his dojo training there. He came and sat down, and he was, like, talking to me and my brother, and he was like, yeah, I just got off the phone with my friend from Toledo School for the Arts, and they need a martial arts guy with a bachelor's degree, but I don't know any martial arts guys with a bachelor's degree. And I said, well, Sensei, I got a bachelor's degree. And he goes, oh, really? And I said, yeah.
You're hired.
And it was like the next day I had an interview and was in there talking to the, I believe he's the development director of TSA and had Rich the job the next day.
Rich Went Franklin, the he's busy. And everything. Okay. Mike Woodman it is.
Yeah,
except it's not Matt. I think he had it a little tougher because I get to work out with the kids all the time. He had to sit there and teach math all the time.
No,
so I actually get to work out and do stuff with them.
What's your college degree in?
It's a Bachelor of Science in Education.
Oh, so you're
Kickery 101.
So you were actually went to school to be a teacher, or?
I did go to the school to be a teacher. Yes, sir.
Now, how perfect that was is that? Why can't plan. Crap work out like that for me?
It was just an opportunity of it, I guess. I think it was the good vibes actually from the dojo. I know Shooter knows Sensei Hertzellers in the dojo that we practice, and it's just kind of the vibe around there is kind of magical usually all the time, and things kind of just go right when you're around there.
No, it really is. I mean, I couldn't say enough nice things about both Sensei and Senpai, but I've worked out at a lot of other dojos. I've trained with really great martial artists, and their places sucked. You know, you walk
yeah,
in.
Yeah, Matt
just
Hughes.
I'm not talking about Matt. Matt was awesome. Ben Stoker put a beating on my face. Hey, you're the biggest guy in the class. You're a tough guy. Oh! No, but seriously, there are dojos, especially around Northwest Ohio. You walk in them, they just suck the life out of you. You know, you just don't respect the people you're necessarily working out with. And at Ohio Martial Arts, it's nothing like that. You go in there, you want to work. You want to work harder just because it's fun. It's just a relaxed atmosphere. So I couldn't say enough nice things.
You know, I have a question, and actually, I guess it could be both for you. Kenny, you can't answer it, but I think these two can. You know, say you're somebody who is planning on trying to get into a martial arts class for the first time. Now, there's obviously a lot of schools out there who they're kind of fly-by-night operations. They don't have really any pedigrees as far as their trainers go. What is a good way to identify to somebody who really wants to take a serious mixed martial arts class? What's a good place and what's not?
Well, I'll let Mike answer because he's the guest.
That'd be nice.
Okay, I think I got a pretty good answer for you. I would say the best thing that you need really to look for is a balance. You can't just have the physical aspect of it. You can't just have, I need to punch through somebody's face. I need to defend myself when I'm being attacked. I need to be put in this high anxiety situation, because it's a lot of it is not about that. It's about bringing it back down. And I think that's where the meditation comes into it. We do a good amount of meditation over at Ohio Martial Arts. And that comes a lot into that fight. It's, can you calm yourself down at that point to preserve your cardio, to preserve your strength? And if you don't have that balance in your life, how are you going to have that balance in the fight? And I think a good martial arts center gives you the ability to do that, as well as the physical abilities to execute the techniques they teach you.
Okay.
Yeah, what he said.
Thanks, Shooter.
I agree. All right.
And you know what? I was like completely the opposite when I first started. I was like, everything was cardio, 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 lift, lift, lift. Punch, punch, punch. Oh, I know how to punch. I don't need to learn a different way how to punch. And then you start seeing that there's different times to punch different ways, and there's different angles to punch different ways, and you need to calm down so you can see that, so you can observe, so you can react. I mean, it's a really, really just neat way to look at it. Sensei Kurtz has put a spin on everything that it's really amazing. I mean, you sit there in class and it's almost I find myself sometimes going to class just so I can hear him speak afterwards. It's really cool.
All right. Now, we're going to have to wrap this up because we're getting long on time, but I do have one last question for you.
Yes, sir.
When we had Dan on, he told us that, you know, Boss Rutan was his idol. And that his dream in life, if I could ever make that happen for him, like I'm the MMA genie or something, was that Boss kicked his ass. Are there any professional fighters you idolize so much you want them to beat the crap out of you?
Well, I gotta say, and you guys would probably laugh about it, but I've always wanted to just have the chance to fight Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have ever talked to a fighter that has somebody they visualize. Well, about probably 4 or 5 months ago at the dojo, Big Dan was talking about visualization and visualizing something to hit. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, why don't I just always train like I'm getting ready to fight Brock Lesnar? Because then I'll train like an animal, because I know I'm going against the biggest, meanest dude in the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I ever since then, I had a dream, like probably a little while ago, but I had a dream where I fought Brock Lesnar in the UFC. And, you know, there I was, 180-some pounds, and there he was, about 290, whatever he walks in there as.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I remember my, like, the feeling I had in it, and it was like, I was ready to fight. I don't know how it would have went, but I was ready to try.
I have an idea.
And I think
you to speculate.
I might try and be careful about what I say, actually. I might want to take that back.
Yeah. Brock's not
you
real
have balls, my friend.
I was going to say, Brock, he's not real big on coming on to shows and stuff, but I might be able to talk him into coming to your house and kicking your ass if he feels yeah. disrespectful.
Well, don't tell him part of the reason was because I used to, or well, I still am a big Frank Mir fan. I still remember that finger in Frank Mir's face after that fight. I was like, oh no.
You and Frankie both, my friend. You and Frankie both.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
Frank Mir, who waits until Brock's on his deathbed I'm going to rip his arm. Keep in mind, I love Frank Mir. I always have been a big fan of Frank's, but my God. All right. Well, Mike, we want to thank you very much for coming on, and we'd love to have you come back sometime, all right?
Oh, I'd love to be back. Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And good luck in your upcoming fight. We'll get you back on. You can tell us all about it.
Cool. Thank you very much. Talk to you guys later.
Take care.
All right, Mike. Bye-bye.
Take it easy.
Bye. What a nice guy.
Was.
He's pretty cool.
He's pretty cool. He's okay.
He's pretty cool. Yeah, shit.
Oh man, you know, I'm more and more I'm thinking about it. I got to get Sensei Hertzellers on here. Let him talk to you guys. He'll convert you. You guys will just migrate to Ohio.
He'll say, "I'll move me. He'll make me move to Ohio."
You want to come to Ohio? Give me your business.
Holy crap! The Jedi mind trick's working. Yeah. Mike, I'm already in my car. I don't even know how I got here. All my stuff's already packed.
I'm like Greedo.
You're Greedo. All right, well, we might as well move on to interview numero dos.
Ba, 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 ba.
And that is with Devin Price of Shine Fights.
Shine Fights. Add him on here. Hopefully Shooter gave me the right number the first time.
Hopefully.
Dum-dee-dee-dum. Let's give him a jangle.
What's with the jangle business anyway? I don't get that.
I don't know.
Devin.
Yes.
Hey, it's Shooter from Rear Naked Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Now, you are the CEO of Shine Fights. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right.
That's good. We got the right guy. I'm glad.
Yeah, I just had to make sure that was clear.
You guys got the right guy.
He gives me the wrong number sometimes, so we just needed to get that before we go on.
Yeah, you just could be a different Devin Price. Got it, sure. All right, so as I understand it, you guys have a really big card coming up. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Tell me about it, Devin. Tell me. Share with the group.
Yeah, the fight's going to be on May 15th. I'm really excited about it. This is our third show coming up. It's going to be May 15th in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And it's actually going to be televised live on pay-per-view. So that's, you know, for everybody out there, that's DirecTV, Dish Network, and Demand, 100% of the pay-per-view market. So if you're not in North Carolina, you should try and get there. If you can't get there, you can always watch it on pay-per-view.
Excellent.
And the headline of that card is going to be, obviously, My Worker versus Dean Thomas.
Right.
And for those I'm familiar with my work, you know, he's the world champion boxer who's making a crossover with MMA.
Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons this is such excellent timing for you is because they're also, you know, you hear lots of stuff going on about James Toney going to the UFC. And,
yeah.
You know, people are talking, making a big deal because, you know, he's a boxing champion and stuff, but you're kind of scooping him there by having Mayorga fight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've been, you know, dealing with Mayorga for a little bit now, so, you know, he's finally making his debut in MMA. And you look at somebody like, you know, we call him Mayorga in his boxing resume, and the guy was a former welterweight champion of the world. I mean, he beat Vernon Forrest twice. He fought De La Hoya, fought Sugar Shane Mosley, fought Felix Trinidad. I mean, he's been in the ring with some of the great, and he's beat some, and he's lost some, but you can't deny his, you know, his boxing talent.
No, not at all.
Now, what other fights do you guys have scheduled thus far?
Okay, well, we also have Nico Vitale versus Ninja Roar, which I'm really excited about.
That's fantastic. You know,
we're really excited about that. You know, Ninja being a former Pride fighter and, you know, coming over here. And so we're really excited about that one. And another fight that we announced was Eduardo Pamplona versus Nick Thompson, which is going to be an excellent fight. That's one fight I can't wait to see,
right.
Honestly. Eduardo Pamplona, I mean, he's on a, if you don't know about him, but he's on a 7-fight win streak. I mean, he lost to Robbie Lawler, and then he lost his very first fight that he's ever had, but, you know, the guy is an absolute beast. And then you have a guy like Nick Thompson, you know, he beat Eddie Alvarez, beat Paul Daly. And then another interesting guy that we have on is Brother Estimer, you know, the Abu Dhabi world champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fighting Rick Hahn, who's a former Olympian in judo. So it's kind of, you know, jiu-jitsu versus judo there.
Right. Now, to talk a little bit about you and as far as Shine Fights in general, I mean, that's a pretty cherry position you're into. How did you get into that?
Well, I got into this because my brother, Dorian Price, he was an Ultimate Fighter Season 6, fought in the UFC, and kind of following his career, I remember his very first fight, you know, I actually cornered him. And, you know, so just kind of followed his career along, and, you know, he and I just, you know, talking for a long while, and finally the time was right, so we decided to start Shine.
Excellent.
Now, this being the third official card from the promotion, this is a hell of a move to dive into the pay-per-view market. What made you guys decide to get yourselves out there on such a huge scale so quickly rather than start local and kind of build your way up? Like, I know a lot of promotions go by that model.
Well, I mean, quite honestly, I mean, there's not a lot of promotions that have gotten the opportunity to do pay-per-view. I mean, if you look out there, I mean, there's, you know, the UFC, obviously, of course. And then, you know, outside of that, you have, what, Affliction?
Yeah.
And then, and that's it. Just been able to do a live pay-per-view event.
Yeah, so, most ones that do get pay-per-view usually pre-record, and then they'll get
exactly
on there.
Exactly. It's not live. So, I mean, so the opportunity kind of presented itself. And, you know, we had done two previous shows, which were pretty successful. And, you know, with each card, we're trying to build. And so, I mean, the opportunity presented itself, and we took it. Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, your main event fight is Mayorga and Dean Thompson. And I have to tell you, when I first heard of this fight, I was much more excited for the prospect of Ricardo Mayorga fighting in MMA than actually even James Toney. I feel Mayorga is much more relevant as a fighter today. Mayorga is also notoriously difficult to deal with. How tough was it to kind of rein him in and get him under your banner and get kind of everything sealed and done?
Well, the good thing about Mayorga is he wanted this. I mean, so it's always easy to do something when the other person wants it. I mean, he's a fighter at heart. I mean, he comes from Nicaragua. I mean, he always said that if MMA was around, you know, back when he was coming up, he probably would have went the MMA route because it's more closely related to, as he puts it, you know, a true fight. And the guy's a fighter at heart. I mean, he's more of a fighter than he is a boxer. It's just his skills translated well to boxing also, and that's the sport that he went into. Mm-hmm. But he's a fighter at heart, so it was pretty easy to deal with as far as that goes.
So you feel that after this fight, regardless of the outcome, Ricardo Mayorga will be staying in mixed martial arts?
Yes, I do believe that. I do believe that. And if you look at somebody like Ricardo Mayorga, I mean, you look at when he boxes, he's not your traditional type of boxer.
No, he's very, very physical. Stance.
Exactly. You know, he's very strong, and his punches come from all angles. I mean, so it actually translates to MMA pretty well.
Now, in addition to Mayorga, obviously, which is a big name signing for you guys, probably it's just in terms of mainstream appeal, the biggest signing you guys have had. Are there any other names out there in the freelance MMA market you would really like to sign and nail down, or are maybe in the works of doing that currently, if we can maybe get a scoop here for future Shine Fights cards?
Right. Well, I mean, that's something that my matchmaker, Ron Foster, he's the one that handles, you know, in terms of signing the fighters and that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's the guy that, you know, really does all the work. You know, this is all, you know, when you see the fight, no, that's all with Ron Foster's work and, you know, in terms of putting together the fight. So that question should be asked to him. So you should get him on the radio and ask him that question because he can better answer that.
Okay, we'll see if we can line that up.
Definitely.
Now, running your own promotion, obviously there's got to be, I imagine, a very large amount of different hats you kind of have to wear. What do you think is the most difficult aspect of running an up-and-coming MMA promotion?
Just getting your brand out there. I mean, because this is an exercise in branding, honestly. And so the big part of it is really getting your brand out there and, you know, And, I mean, really, the talent that we sign really speaks for yourself, speaks for itself. Because as an organization, you're really only as good as the talent you have on your roster. And so that's one of the things that we start to do is really go out there and bring in top talent. And then, you know, with doing this pay-per-view event, I mean, one of the things we're doing, it's going to be done at HD, and the production quality is going to be incredible. And so, I mean, we're going to do some things that are a little bit different than pay-per-view has been done. So I can't announce that yet. Mm-hmm. But in the next few weeks, we'll have some interesting news coming out.
All right. Is there any improvements or long-term goals that you would like to have for your promotion that you can announce without kind of giving away your hand?
As far as, well, I mean, first of all, we want to be around for the long haul. I mean, mm-hmm. when we first got into this, you know, we did not want to get into this just for the short term. I mean, we're all MMA fans. I mean, Ron Foster, Ron Broughton, is in jiu-jitsu. I mean, he's fought inside the cage. Dorian Price, I mean, he's a Muay Thai expert. You know, he's been in the UFC. I mean, he's fought at all different levels. So we're MMA guys first and foremost. And in terms of setting up Shine, we want to make sure that we're a fan-friendly organization and a mm-hmm. fighters-friendly organization. And that's really one of the things that we wanted to differentiate ourselves from, you know, everybody else. And another thing is we're not worried about competition because our competition with you is really ourselves. We're really just focused on making each one of our shows better and better.
Mm-hmm. That's good because, I mean, I think that's been a mistake of some of the promotions in the past that have kind of taken to the national stage as they try and go toe-to-toe with UFC. You guys are more focused on just building your name, getting everything out there.
Exactly.
All right. Devin, I think that's all we got for you, man. Thanks for joining us on the show. I know we went over it in the beginning, but go ahead and rally off all the details of the upcoming Shine 3 card so everybody knows for sure what's going on.
Okay, well, like I said, you know, it's going to be on pay-per-view. It's May 15th. It's at the Crown Coliseum in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We're still announcing more and more fights, but right now we have, you know, we've already announced Nico versus Ninja, you know, Mayorga versus Dean Thomas, which is the main event, you know, Braulio Estimer versus Rick Hahn, and Eduardo Pamplona versus Nick Thompson. So, you know, there's going to be more breaking news coming out, and, you know, it's going to be live on pay-per-view, so if you can't make it to North Carolina, definitely watch it.
All right. TV. You know, go to North Carolina or contact your local pay-per-view provider. Devin, thank you so much for joining. And
thanks for having me on.
I hope to have you on again in the future.
All right, look forward to it.
All right, take care, man.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right, well, anyways. Moving on.
There's some cowboy fellow we're supposed to
Yeah, we're supposed to talk to a cowboy today.
Yeehaw!
All right. Let's go ahead and get him now that I actually have the full phone number.
I told you I wasn't giving you his whole number.
Only nine numbers in this.
Exactly. I was waiting for you to pick up on it, but then when you're like, well, I just copied and pasted, it didn't work. I was like, oh, man, I didn't notice.
You're right, I wouldn't notice. Did you do that on purpose? Or were you, is it
no,
just...
I totally did it on purpose. That was part of my plan. And then when you didn't, I didn't mean to do it with Widmer. That was an accident. But with true. Cowboy, I intentionally left the last number off.
Cowboy ringing, so shut up.
Hello.
Hi, Donald.
Speaking.
Hi, you're on Rear Naked Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Not too bad.
Good.
You sound a little tired. Did we wake you?
No, we're just vegging, fucking blizzarding out here today. So.
Are you in Siberia?
I feel like it. We were out riding the horse this morning. Now it's just blizzarding out here all of a sudden.
Well, that'll put anybody down. Fortunately, you have something to look forward to, which is a big, big, big fight coming up against Ben Henderson April 24th on WEC's first pay-per-view. The dogs don't like it either.
Being mauled by a dog.
It's a unique training regimen, I must say.
What are you doing in a blizzard? Oh, I let dogs eat my ass.
someone just came to our house.
Have you got the animals under control?
I got him under control. Good.
Thank you very much. Okay, so you got a big fight coming up, obviously, with Ben Henderson, a man you've met before.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
I don't need to ask questions, because every time we do, the dog goes...
Shut that door. What did you say? She's on that side of the house? Sorry. Now we're good.
Okay. So
we need to see if a bear breaks in during the next question, so it'll be all
right.
Yeah,
so...
right?
Okay.
That dog's all bark, no bite anyway. That's all she does is bark for no reason.
Like Jamie Ferner.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. We're not big Jamie fans on this show, so.
Who is? Okay, so you have a big fight coming up against Ben Henderson. Dogs barking. Okay.
No, we're good.
Okay. April 24th, obviously, probably the biggest night in WEC history, and you've been there for a good long while. I guess first question is the obvious: how are you preparing for the upcoming fight?
You know, I wouldn't say I'm doing anything out of the ordinary, or, you know, just like I would every other fight, but you know, definitely working a lot on my wrestling, and now working on getting stronger so I can finish some of those submissions if I can do that for him again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously in the first fight you two had, you come very, very close to finishing Henderson a couple times with different submissions, although he appears to have no need to breathe and no joints, limbs, or bones.
Right.
So are you... Are you planning on trying to keep this as more of a stand-up fight, or are you going to try and go back to that submission game and finish what you started in the last fight?
Well, I'd like to stand up and fight him, but unfortunately that's not going to happen because, you know, he's going to try and take me down, and mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he'll succeed, so it's going to have to be on the ground and me submitting his ass, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously the last fight was a somewhat controversial decision with Ben Henderson getting the win. How do you feel point-wise being in the fight yourself? How do you feel that fight went and the dogs are back?
The dog's back!
The dog's back,
dog. Don't think your question's bullshit.
I feel like I won the championship rounds, you know, the fourth and fifth rounds, and the second and third, definitely him. The first one was kind of questionable, so it's really on... Depends on who's watching it, I guess.
All right. Give me a second here. I apologize. Now, obviously, this fight is after the fight between Ben Henderson and Jamie Varner, which Ben Henderson won in very impressive fashion. Who were you hoping to fight out of those two?
I was hoping Ben would be Jamie's bitch ass just because he's a punk, you know, but I want Jamie, you know, that's definitely something that I look forward to doing somewhere down the line, but he just shows that Jamie's got no heart, you know, and then right there, caught him in a guillotine, 2 seconds later, he's choking, and then he has the nerve to say, I came to fight, you came to grapple, when Jamie almost submitted Ben in the exact same move, you know what I mean, but
yeah.
He'd have done it, and it'd been okay, so... The dude is just a fucking spineless bastard, bro, you know?
Now, your last fight was against Ed Ratcliffe, somebody who was definitely game to fight. It was a little bit of an interesting fight because you had a couple fouls on you for a couple of low blows, just the way you met up. You kept throwing knees, the knees kept going low. Did you do this to make it interesting for yourself, to give yourself a little bit of a handicap?
Yeah.
No, I mean, he was doing everything right. He was, like, hitting into my knees. He was kind of shoulder. I don't know what was going on there, but it kind of sucked, yeah. You're right. But, hey, the guy stood there and fought. My hat's off to him. You know, he could have quit at any time and walked away with the DQ. And,
like Varner.
So, like Varner, exactly. And so I'm glad he decided to stay in and fight, you know, so my hat's off to him.
Donald, I've recently heard that you've bought a 10-acre ranch and you're looking for some fighters to get together. What brought this sort of thought process on for the Tap Out House?
Yeah, the ranch I've always wanted, you know, as a kid. I remember I always wanted to be like, man, I want a place where I can ride my horses, my dirt bikes, shoot my guns, you know. And so finally, you know, went to WC there, started making some money, and Leonard and I went in together and bought the house, man. And then as far as how everything else came upon it, we just kind of decided, man, everyone always wants to come down and train with us. They always call and want to come down and train in Jackson. So we're like, man, let's open our house up and give those people who don't have the opportunity to still have a knock on Greg's door to come down and give it a shot, man. So it's kind of, you know, hopefully we're helping them put the foot in the door.
Now, in addition to your upcoming fight with Ben Henderson, there's obviously a very big fight on the horizon, and that's George St. Pierre and Dan Hardy. Now, I know you helped George St. Pierre train for the BJ Penn fight. Did you help him out at all for Dan Hardy?
Yes, he came down. He was down in Jackson training with us. You know, I wouldn't say I'm like his star training partner or anything. I'm not. I don't get George ready, you know. But I definitely like to say I got in there and gave him my all and helped him out. But that's gonna be an embarrassing fight, man. I feel bad for Dan because George is gonna kill him. So, I mean, fuck.
Scratch that question off the list.
Yeah, right. That's not even fair.
Now, as a fighter, what are the advantages of training with somebody who is obviously such, not only at such a high level as George St. Pierre, but somebody who is also a weight class higher than you? I mean, it obviously must give you a lot personally, but if you could go into specifics.
Yeah, I mean, well, not only training with George, which is cool, but, you know, we have Rashad Evans, Keith Jardine. We have pretty much all the big nine
guys. Obviously. Yeah.
So, you know, so getting in there every day with those guys and having them, you know, you're doing this wrong, you know, kind of taking me under their wing and showing me what I'm doing wrong, you know, that's awesome. You know, if I can defend takedowns from those guys, you know, there's no way Ben can take me down. And that's kind of how I look at it, you know, kicking their brains, asking them questions, and they're more than happy. I got family. They're more than happy to help us out.
Now, it seems like Greg Jackson's camp has, I don't know if this is through design or just by happenstance, but it seems to be filled with more heavier weight fighters. You seem to be one of the lighter weight notable names in the camp. Is there any interest from Jackson in the future in bringing some of either the lighter weight fighters he has up now or bringing some high-level lightweight fighters into his camp?
Well, we have a lot of lightweight guys, man, that I guess you're going to say that are just not the big name, you know, yet. They're in the process of climbing the ladder, you know, so... But we have a whole handful of lightweight guys. They're everywhere from 25, 125 up, you know. So I'd like to say we got a lot of guys that are just on the process of making their name known, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely open to that 100%.
Okay.
Now, my question for you is in regards to, you know, maybe going into the Varner fight, you were seen as something, I want to use a wrestling terminology, as a little bit of a heel. You know, you're kind of outspoken. You talk trash, although obviously you back it up. And in that one fight, a lot of people's opinions changed as far as that goes. Number one, because quite honestly, Varner bitched out so bad, and then ever since then, you've just been kind of, you know, beating the crap out of people. So is anything like that ever factor in? Like, do you even consider other people's opinions, or are you just, you know what, comfortable being you and screw the rest of the world? Just do your thing.
I'm really bad at, like, going on the internet and reading that shit. Just because, you know, Leonard Garcia, my roommate, he does that. He reads that shit. I'm like, man, why are you reading it? Who cares what those people have to say? No, nah. So I don't have any opinion what people say or any mummy. Just when Jamie says stupid shit because he's a dumbass. So that's about it. You know, I hear through the grapevine what shit he's talking. And it just makes me laugh sometimes. But, I don't really bother too much about what people say. Like, oh, yeah, my wrestling sucks. Well, yeah, duh, my wrestling does suck. You know, you can just watch my videos and see that, you know. But, so usually what people say is right, you know, pretty close, so I don't need to read about it, no.
Right. Now, perfect world, you fight Henderson, you whoop the crap out of him, maybe even submit him, which would be really cool, because it seems like he's made of rubber and can't be submitted, but...
Well, he can be submitted, I promise you that.
There you go, see, that's the soundbite I was looking for. That's the soundbite I was looking for. But, okay, that's over, you got the belt. Obviously, we talked about your desire to beat up on Varner. Just, you know, why not? Although, to be honest, I don't really think he's in much of contention shape right now. What's down the road for you? Who do you want to fight, or does it really matter? You just want to, you know, go out there and make
a
living?
No, it definitely doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Varner is definitely on the radar, though. You know, if I get to Ben, and I don't want to wait, man. I don't want to sit there and wait 4 or 5 months for him to figure out what he wants to do. You know, I'd like to get in there and fight right on the next card again. You know, I just... Let's go. You know, that's how I like to fight, just back to back. I don't like to have those long breaks. So whoever is ready and they can throw me as fast as possible is who I want to fight next.
Now, this is going to be World Extreme Cage Fighting's first foray into the pay-per-view world. Obviously taking a big step up here, and many people would say taking a big risk. How do you personally feel about WEC moving into the realm of pay-per-view and the fact that you are going to be a prominent name on their very first pay-per-view card?
I feel that WEC has every right to go pay-per-view, man. I think why not? They got the best 35-45% in the world. Nowhere else can you find them besides you watch Dream, but we have, you know, 55, of course, at UFC, but 35-45 is the best in the world for people to see that. I think they should want to pay pay-per-view. You know, it's cool that they have free TV, but so does UFC, Spike TV. You know, I think we're right in touch with those guys, man. So I think we 100% should be on pay-per-view. Plus, it means more money for me, so I really like it.
One of the things you did mention in there was UFC does happen to have a 155-pound division. Any plans for Cowboy in the UFC anytime soon?
Oh, 100%. I plan on going to UFC. Before I went to WEC, I got a call for the UFC. I told them no, I wasn't ready. Because I don't want to go be that guy that gets fed to the Lions and kind of just washed out. You know, I want to go in and fight the top 10 guys and make a name. You know, so hopefully I'm going to make a name in WEC. I can go in there, fight the top 10 guys, and just stay, you know, be at the top. That's what I'm looking for. So am I ready yet? No. There's still things I need to work on before I'm ready to step up to do that. So maybe another year or so, you'll see Cowboy the UFC.
So obviously that's a long-term goal. I know this is going to be your third title fight. How important is it to you personally to hold that WEC belt?
All right. Just getting the motherfucker is important to me, bro. I'm not worried about holding it. I'm worried about getting it.
So. You're one of the reasons that you're so successful is that you are a very well-rounded fighter. You're very good on the feet, and you're very accomplished on the ground. However, there have been some critiques of your game, one of them being that you tend to be a slow starter. If you had a choice of one thing in your overall game you could improve, what would it be?
My wrestling. 100% my wrestling.
Is that more for offensive or defensive purposes?
I would definitely say probably defensive, just so I could dictate where the fight goes, you know? Mm-hmm. Offensively wrestling, I feel pretty good. Defensive, where I need to work. You know, mixing up with striking, I usually can take people down, you know, it's pretty unpredictable, you know? So that, but wrestling is what I really need to work on. Starting slow and starting, you know, I'd rather start slow and finish strong than start fast and not be able to finish. You know, if you watch my fights, I never get tired, you know? I'm always finishing strong, and I'd rather keep that, you know, just start slow. Once the momentum gets going, just keep it and finish strong. So I don't mind that, but I'd like to start a little faster.
Okay. All right. So gun to your head, how do you see the fight with Henderson going? Give me a prediction, round and method.
I'd like to say early rounds, but I want it to go 5 rounds. I want to bust his ass for 5 rounds, man. That's what I plan on doing, you know. I've already played for 5. I figure I have to figure out another 5. So I'd like to drag it out, fight of the night, fight of the year, all 5 rounds, walk away with that belt, man.
Now, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned the fight of the night and the fight of the year, because really the past 2 years you've had two fights that have been in fight of the year contention, both the fight with Ben Henderson and the fight with Razor Rob. How important is it to you to have that kind of long war as opposed to just kind of getting it in, getting it done, and going home?
Well, getting it in and getting it done and going home is fun and easy, you know, and you get your check and you're happy. But, man, there's something about just standing there and throwing the fuck down that is fun, too, you know, to having those wars. I enjoy that. When he's giving you everything and you're giving him everything and you guys are standing toe-to-toe, that, you know, that gets me going. I thoroughly enjoy it. As far as doing it for the people, I don't care. That's for me. I'm in the time. You know, so people watching, they just get lucky because I want to go do that, you know, but I'm not like, oh, I'm going to go 5 rounds. That's what the crowd wants to see. Shit, I'm going to go 5 rounds. I don't want to book Ben's ass for 5 rounds, you know?
All right, since I've beaten your fight to death, I guess I'll ask you about another high-profile lightweight fight that's a lot of people have been weighing in on. How do you think BJ Penn and Frankie Edgar's going to go?
BJ Penn, Frankie Edgar's too little, man. I like the guy a lot. You know, he's an explosive wrestler, but I just don't. He's not going to be able to take BJ down, I don't think. And BJ's going to pick him apart because everybody else. You need someone who can stand there and beat the shit out of BJ. You need someone that's going to put the fight to BJ, you know, and make BJ take you down and make BJ change the pace of the fight. Someone's got to be able to beat BJ standing up. I think it was going to take to beat him.
Okay. One more question before we leave you, Donald. There was some talk just after the Ben Henderson fight that there were rumors that you were thinking about moving down to 145. How true were those rumors, and is there any possibility of that in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I walk around as really light, man. I'm like, I was eating milk, doesn't drink Coca-Cola before the last weigh-in. So, but Reed Harris kind of shut that down. He was like, "You're my 55er. You're not going to 45. Shut up with that." So, kind of got squashed by that. But so, as far as now, I'm fighting 55. But yeah, someday I'll go to 45 just to do it. You know, take a couple fights.
Oh, great. Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Cowboy. Is there anybody you'd like to thank before we let you go?
Oh, man, just get all the fans, or hopefully everyone tunes in and watch the pay-per-view, man.
All right, great. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck on your upcoming fight with Ben Henderson. I will definitely be in your corner. Well, not literally, but figuratively.
Not literally.
If you could set that up, then great.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Cowboy. Take care. Nice fucking guy.
Nice fucking guy. Oh, censorship right out the window this week. Wait till you see the write-up on the front page this week. I've been working on it here for a while.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, unless I'm wrong, and I very rarely am, except when I invite Derek to join the show, I think we can wrap it up.
Yeah, I think that'll do it for us. Let me hit that sweet, sweet outro music.
Thank you, Derek, for joining us today.
Again.
Love you guys too.
Every contribution as always.
He says nothing. We thank you for being on. He has nothing to say.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank everybody. Thank everybody. I would like to thank everybody for joining us on the show. Be sure to head on over to rearnakedradio.net. Thanks to our friends at Ohio Martial Arts, PWI Pop, Tapper Sleep. Send us a line at ringsmma@gmail.com. We'll see y'all next week.
Ooh, yeah.